you get a chance to enjoy this beautiful day, I hope. It's gorgeous. Well, I'm happy to be here with you this evening, and I was really pleased when Joel invited me to be a part of this teaching series inspired by Henri Nouwen's Life of the Beloved book, not because I enjoy preaching, actually. I'm quite terrified of it, but I really love this book. It has been meaningful to me in my own spiritual journey for a number of years, and so it was really grateful that I get to be a part of this and hope that it is also meaningful to you as we go through this book together. I first encountered it when I was a student in seminary, had to read it for a class, and then I've returned to it and reread it a couple of times when I've been in places of discouragement or feeling a little lost, and it's really been able to bring forth some joy and peace in times that have been difficult. And so it's my hope that you will come away with some of those feelings today in our messages, but also you may be inspired to pick up the book yourself. And so we have a slide of it here, but I would encourage you, if you're interested in reading along with us when Joel returns next week, we still have a couple of weeks, and if you would like to read along, certainly invite you to do that. In the series of messages that we're entitling The Beloved, it's focused on a simple yet profound, amazing truth that we are God's beloved. Simple, yet can be very difficult for us to live. Because even if we can rationally accept that truth that God loves us, that we are beautiful in God's eyes, if we can accept that rationally, it is still difficult to live in that reality for probably most of us, many of us at least. I think because rather than feeling precious or cared for, we spend a lot of energy, a lot of our lives racked with self-doubts and fears that make it difficult to allow ourselves to be who God has created us to be, at least if you're anything like me. And Henri Nouwen captures this really nicely in his book, this tension that we feel. And he says it something I think that's really striking and I hope just pushes us to a place where we might be able to receive what God has for us tonight. So I want to share this quote with you. He says, "Self-rejection is the greatest enemy of the spiritual life. Self-rejection is the greatest enemy of the spiritual life because it contradicts the sacred voice that calls us the beloved." So it's a beautiful thing for us to think about, but it might be a little different than how we've sometimes thought of our own spiritual life. But for him to identify self-rejection as being so challenging for us that it contradicts that sacred voice that calls us the beloved. So does that speak to you tonight? It certainly has spoken to me and continues to speak to me, because I think my own doubts, my anxieties and fears are often my greatest enemy. They can make it difficult for me to trust God and to allow the Holy Spirit to work in me and through me in the ways that He wants to. And when I think about self-rejection, as perhaps you do, the first things that come to mind might be kind of the straightforward forms, right? So self-rejection can take the form of feelings connected to being unworthy or insignificant or unlovable. We might feel this about ourselves, perhaps because there were people, important people in our lives that either spoke those hurtful words, or through their actions made us feel as though we were not significant or cared for, and we began and continue to internalize that and struggle to think that we might actually be part of God's community with purpose, that it can be very difficult for us. And so there can be part of that, certainly. And as we embrace that, sort of internalize it, not because we want to, because it becomes part of it, we draw further and further away from God, because we think, how can God love us if I can't even enjoy myself? I don't even like being with myself, right? Some of those issues. So I think self-rejection can take that form. But Nouwen also identifies another interesting form, almost the other side of the same coin, which he describes as arrogance. So here's how he describes arrogance, and I just want to share it with you. He says, "Arrogance is putting myself on a pedestal to avoid being seen as I see myself." That's not how we always think of arrogance, is it? Sometimes we'll think of arrogance as someone who just feels so good about themselves that, you know, they kind of put the feathers up and, you know, show them off because they're so confident. Yet, I think often what arrogance might be rooted in is instead those deep doubts of our own worthiness or our own security. And so we try to convince ourselves about our goodness by convincing others about our goodness. All the while, we're struggling in this deeper place within our soul with worries that we're really not good enough and that somebody else might find that out. And so we talk more of ourselves, we draw more attention to what we do, and we buy even fancier things in our attempts to feel secure. But all the while, what do? We end up going further and further away in our spiritual lives because we're so inwardly focused on things that don't draw us to our true source of security and identity. Because, of course, our security and our true identity come from Jesus Christ alone. And that's our good news for today. That's it if you hear nothing else, right? We are God's beloved, not because of what we do, but because, as 1 John tells us, God is love, and there's nothing that he desires more than for us to live and dwell in his presence, as we sang tonight, right? Nothing greater than to spend even one day in his courts. And Nouwen describes in his book this relationship that we have as God's beloved, sort of as a rhythm of our lives. He says that as we are God's beloved, we are taken or chosen, we are blessed, we are broken, and we are given. And if that rhythm sounds familiar to you at all, it's because it's the practice that we engage with around the Lord's Supper. We take the bread, we give thanks, we break it, and we share it. And so Nouwen uses that imagery to structure his conversation about our belovedness, and that is the structure that we're using also for this series. And so last week, Pastor Joel began us thinking through what it means to be chosen by God, to be taken, to be his. And tonight we get to look at the idea of being blessed. Beautiful concept. And when I think of blessedness or being blessed myself, one of my first thoughts immediately goes to my family. I am blessed to have a wonderful husband and two children. And when our son was born, who is now five, we started thinking about what are we going to do to thank God for this amazing blessing of him in our life. And then we were given again a little daughter who's 1.5 now. And we started thinking, what could we do to ask for God's blessing in their life, to ask for God's blessing in our lives, because even though they're wonderful children, it's hard to be a parent, and just to give thanks. And so we decided to do a service of blessing, is what we called it. It's very much like a child dedication, except it was an extended time with our family and friends, and we got really excited thinking about this service of blessing. And when we decided to do this, Logan was 3 at the time, and Miriam was 9 months old. And so this is Logan at the time, actually at the service, right? He doesn't usually wear a tie. That was for a special occasion. So this was him at his service, and he looks, you know, pretty cute, except I know what's really going on in his mind. Here's what was going on. All right, so leading up to this service, he's 3, so he knows, he can pick up things, what's going on, and he could tell that we're getting excited, we're planning something. And then he started to figure out that it had something to do with him. So he was keyed in, and he was curious. So we decided to share with him what was about to happen, what we were going to do, just to, you know, kind of get him prepared for it. So we said, hey, Logan, we're going to have a service of blessing where we ask for God's blessing in your life and in Miriam's life. It's going to be really special. And do you know what Logan said? Any of you that know young children, this will not be a surprise. Do you know what Logan said? He said, I don't want to be blessed. I said, well, you are going to be blessed, and you are going to like it. So I couldn't believe it, right? He's our firstborn. So, you know, we've been learning about all this, but I always had these images of these sweet little children in Sunday school. Anything to do with Jesus, they're just totally open to it. And my son was refusing to be blessed. So I didn't quite know what to do with this, and became a battle between Logan and I. I tried all kinds of, you know, wonderful theological arguments with him, and it just did not work. He did not want to be blessed. And so it would come up from time to time. We'd be in the car, for example, and out of nowhere he would say, Mom, are you going to bless me? And I'd say, yes. He'd say, well, I'm not going to let you. Oh, yes, you are. And round we'd go, right? So finally I started realizing this is not the right way to set up our blessing service. So John and I very thoughtfully, prayerfully considered, how are we going to handle the 3-year-old in our blessing service? And the way we solved it was to resort to bribery. Yeah. So you see here Logan happily receiving a prayer of blessing with lollipop in hand. This is how he received his blessing. And it turned out to be a beautiful service that we had. And In this time, what we did is we had my father and my father-in-law and my brother sang songs of blessing over the children. And we had three friends of ours who are pastors give reflections and also offer prayers of blessing for the children. And here pictured is one of my seminary professors who's a mentor of mine. And then John and I also shared words of hope and love for our children, promising that no matter what happens in their lives, that we will love them. And this was our blessing to them. And we were blessed as well. And as the service that we held kind of came to a close, we had a time of prayer where our whole family extended hands and just prayed over the kids and us, because we certainly needed it too. And so Miriam was fast asleep there in my husband's arms, and Logan was sucking on his lollipop. And it wasn't quite the way I imagined it, but it was even better. It was even better, which is how God works. And I think that essence of receiving blessing, asking for God's blessing in our lives, sharing it with one another, and then thanking God, all of that kind of constitutes what I've come to understand is a biblical concept of blessing. And so I want us to think a little bit more about that word together tonight. And because I like, you know, I'm a teacher, I like definitions, that's where I have to start. So I want to give you a definition, what I think might capture the idea of blessing. I think the biblical concept of blessing is focused around God's presence in our lives. That is the foundational feature of every blessing that occurs in Scripture, as well as our lives today, that it is God's presence in our lives. But what's so awesome about God's presence in our lives is that it does something. Something happens because of his presence. And it calls forth, it nurtures who we are intended to be as his beloved. When he's present in our lives, it calls forth all that we're intended to be as his beloved. So contrary to my son's take on it, who I love, I adore, my little Logan, contrary to his take on it, to be blessed is really that which ought to be our deepest desire, to have God's presence with us, calling forth and nurturing our souls and empowering us who he's created us to be. And this certainly was the desire in the ancient world. We read many accounts in Scripture of how people desperately sought blessing from their families, but primarily of God, that this was held up as the most important thing. Any other achievements, none of that mattered. What people most desired was God's blessing. And so we know that it's very central to biblical concepts. And I think even today in our Christian life, we use the term and we talk about blessing and we have a longing for it, but we aren't always clear, perhaps, about what it means. What does it mean to be blessed? And I think part of that is because we do use the word a lot. And one of the things about our vocabulary is sometimes the words that we use the most almost start to lose their meaning. You know what I mean by that? Particularly religious language, that we'll use these words without ever really slowing down and stopping to think about, what does this actually mean? How does this affect me? What's really going on here? And I think the concept of blessedness may be that for us. And so maybe part of it is just my teaching nature, but I think also God might have something for us today as we think about what blessedness means. So we will say things like, I'm blessed, or you are a blessing, or we'll use it if someone sneezes, we are sure to say bless you, you know, we know it that way. But I think we want to be a little bit more deliberate tonight, and I'm going to suggest that there are sort of three components to understanding this biblical concept as we think about I am blessed, I am a blessing, and I bless the Lord. And so we're going to look at each one of those elements of this Hebrew word baruch. So first, I am blessed. This might be the one that we first think of, right? I am blessed. I'm receiving something. Blessing has to do with something that I gain. And that is a feature, certainly, of this term, that I receive something. And as the beloved of God, we know that we are to have our eyes open, our hearts open to whatever it is that God would want to give to us. And so if we have food to eat, we say, I am blessed, right? If I have people in my life who care about me, I am blessed. If I find ways to use my talents in meaningful ways, I am blessed. If I buy a new super over-the-top luxury item that I'm going to be paying off for the next 100 years, am I blessed? I raise the question because sometimes we might use it that way. But I want us to think about this. Just because we have something doesn't mean it's a blessing from God. Because while it's true that God's blessing, that his blessings do sometimes bring to us material or tangible things, absolutely, we see that in Scripture and in our own lives, it's also true that sometimes our accumulation of possessions can actually hold us back from receiving God's deepest blessings. We get consumed by our consumption, and our lives start to revolve around what we want to own or how to pay for what we've already purchased. And before we know it, we've become this machine of consumption, and we only faintly resemble the person that God created us to be. This is a difficult cycle. And all the while, we're wondering, where did my spiritual life go, perhaps, right? So how do we know if something is a blessing from God? Because as I said, certainly God does give us material, tangible things as part of his blessing. But how do we know that from the things that might just be our own desires, and we're using that label to justify our own desires? What's the difference? There are a couple of questions that I use in my own life for this, and I'll share them with you. And if you find them meaningful, I would encourage you to think about them in your own experiences. But here's what I ask myself. First, is this thing or relationship or responsibility drawing me closer to God or farther away from him? And if it's distracting me from him, or if it doesn't look at all like what I know to be the character of Jesus Christ, then I need to be careful. And another question that I think is really important is whether others are being used or abused by my personal gain. And if so, I need to be careful. Because we read about people in Scripture who had means, who had wealth and power, and part of that was their blessing from God, certainly, that there are people like that in Scripture. But we also read about plenty of folks who had wealth and power and were outside of the will of God. They're not the good guys, always. And so the point is that there is not a direct relationship between the stuff that we have and being within God's blessing. So it should slow us down a little bit. And even in modern history, we've seen how people are willing to oppress and sometimes even enslave others in order to gain wealth and power. And then on top of that, they may even speak of that power and wealth as God's blessing, all the while dehumanizing and oppressing others. This is a horrific abuse of not only individuals, but I think even of God's word. And so it should be a caution for us as we think about what we have and what we've been given. And so I think for us to know that these tangible or material goods may be part of God's blessing, but really the foundational primary concept of blessing in Scripture is God's presence. It's about God's presence and about God's grounding in all situations. And that is what we ought to be desiring, where our focus ought to be. And this is really clear from Jesus' own words, where he describes what blessedness is. And so it's always good to know what Jesus says about stuff, right? So I want to read for you Matthew 5 from the Sermon on the Mount, what we call the Beatitudes, where Jesus describes what blessedness is. Here's what he says in Matthew 5. Beginning in verse 3, he says, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are those who are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you." Jesus turns things upside down, right? That the things that we might use as a measurement for goodness and success in our secular culture are not the same that are used in the kingdom of God. And so what Jesus is speaking, I think, here for us is that we're blessed because God is present in all of our circumstances, and that we're blessed as we get closer to the heart of God. And the reality is that that may happen more easily when we don't have all the distractions and all the stuff that the world tells us that we need to have. Now, as we say that I'm blessed and we receive that blessing with gratefulness, we know that there's a second component of blessing, as that Hebrew word barak is used, and that is to be a blessing to others. I am a blessing. That the biblical concept of blessing isn't just about receiving, but it's also about being a blessing to others. There's this relationship between them. I am blessed so that I can be a blessing. And this is very much sort of a core component of Westwood life, right? This probably, those of you that have been here for a while, this sounds very familiar to you. It's one of the things that I love about our community, is that we get this, we understand this, and we live it out in many ways. And here at Westwood, part of our vision here, core values, we say it like this. We say, with open hands, we receive all that God wants to give us. And with open hands, we give away, believing that we cannot outgive God. That's great. Right? It's a great image of freely giving from the sources that we have already received. And we see this demonstrated many places in Scripture, but one of the really powerful spots is in Genesis 12 in the life of Abraham. And so I want to take a look at the Abrahamic covenant here. But first, if you have never read your whole Bible straight through, I'm going to give you the condensed version here. In Genesis 1 and 2, we're created good. In Genesis 3, we mess up. And then everything after that is God's plan of redemption. That's it. Story over, right? All those chapters, it seems so confusing. And no, it's all understood in light of God bringing us back to him. It's awesome. And we really see the plan starting to take shape in Genesis 12. That this is where his plan of redemption and of reconciliation with us begins to take form. And so we call it the Abrahamic covenant because it begins with Abraham, but it is that which we are all blessed by. Here's how it reads in Genesis 12. It says, "The Lord said to Abram, 'Go from your country, your people, and your father's household to the land I will show you. I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. And all peoples on earth will be blessed through you.'" So God promises to bless Abraham with an heir. That's really significant to Abraham and his offspring, to bless them. But is that where it ends? No, right? He's going to be a blessing to all the families of the earth. Why? Because it's through this lineage of Abraham many, many generations later into which Jesus Christ comes. And Jesus Christ, as we know, is our source of ultimate salvation for all who would accept him. And so this covenant that's given, this blessing that's given to Abraham for him to receive an heir, is ultimately so that you and I and all who would receive would be saved by Jesus Christ. And so this is a major leap of faith, though, for Abraham. Even here in this text, we see, go from your country, go from your people, leave everything that you know. You have no idea what's ahead, but trust me, right? This is major faith. This is why we hold him up as such a model of our faith. And we know that he was blessed, all the while had a lot of hardships. There were a lot of struggles, and Abraham himself did not come to see the fullness of this blessing either. Yet he trusted that the Lord would use him as a blessing. And so it was intended to impact others. And I think it leads us, as we hold him as a model of faith for us, leads us to think, how do I get to be a blessing to others? How do I get to be a part of the demonstration of God's presence in this world and in the lives of the people around me? And I think sometimes the most profound way that we get to be a blessing, that I can be a blessing and you can be a blessing, is sometimes just with our presence. And it makes sense, right? Because as we've said, God's the sort of the foundational piece of God's blessing to us is his presence in our lives. And so it would make sense that also when we are present to others, that can be one of the most profound blessings. It may be taking the form of listening to others. That's a dying art. We're so busy. Do we take the time to listen? It can be a tremendous blessing. We can look for ways to reach out to those who might otherwise be overlooked or forgotten. Or we can just sit with a friend in a really difficult time. This happened to me when I was in college. There was a semester where I got very ill. I was sick, and it took me a while. I actually had to stop taking classes for a little while. And my husband, now husband, John, we were not dating at the time. In fact, we'd had a little falling out, hadn't spoken for about a year. But he found out that I was sick. And he started calling me every single night. And he would read to me. And I didn't have a voice at the time. I couldn't speak back. So he'd ask my mom to put me on the phone, and I'd hold it. And for sometimes 15, 20 or more minutes, he'd just read to me. And he'd read me the newspaper or poetry or scripture or sometimes even a textbook, right? I didn't care, frankly, the fact that he was there and he cared over the phone. And then as I got a little bit stronger, he came to visit. And I remember he would just sit with me and put his arm around me, and I still couldn't say anything, and he didn't feel like he had to say anything. He was just there. And that's when I knew that I was going to marry him. Didn't take long to make that decision. Because I knew just out of his simple, faithful, gentle presence, John has this ability to nurture me in a way that gives me the strength to discover my true identity as God's beloved. Just because he's there and he holds confidence in me when I don't have it in myself. And that's a powerful thing. So we're called to be a blessing to others. And the third element that I want us to think about around this concept of blessing and this Hebrew word is to bless the Lord. So I am blessed, I am a blessing, and I bless the Lord. But does that seem a little awkward to any of you? It did to me as I was kind of preparing this. I can accept this idea that, yeah, okay, I receive something and I can give something, but what on earth can I do for God? Bless the Lord. It just didn't make sense, which to me, as I was thinking through this, it was kind of a red flag for me, like, oh, maybe my operating definition then really does have more to do with the tangible stuff. Kind of opened my eyes to how I actually operate. Maybe I'm really just defining blessing as these material things, but yet that's not how it's used. This word, the forms of Barak or Baruch, it's not how it's always used in Scripture. It's used to speak of us blessing the Lord. So let's take a look at Psalm 103. It's just one example of how we see the Hebrew term for blessed used. And it's a beautiful, just a beautiful psalm. I'm going to read part of it for us here. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and do not forget all his benefits, who forgives all your iniquity, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit, who crowns you with steadfast love and mercy, who satisfies you with good as long as you live, so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. Beautiful. Bless the Lord. Now, if any of you are reading along with me in your NIV, did you notice in your NIV, perhaps it says, praise the Lord. I've got the new Revised Standard Version here deliberately. I chose the NRSV because it maintains the Hebrew word, translates it directly as blessed. But the NIV is one of the translations that turns it to praise. And this is really interesting for me. Okay, this is just kind of how my mind works again. So why is this Hebrew word that means blessed always translated in every other capacity when it's about us, humans receiving something, it's blessed. But when it comes to God, it's going forward as praise. When we have a Hebrew word for praise, the halal, which is where we get hallelujah. So there is a Hebrew word for praise, hallelujah. But here it is, the Hebrew barak, and it's translated not as blessing, but as praise. So I was very curious about this, and I wanted to do a little research, right? So I haven't totally figured it out. What is it that made the NIV group make this decision? I will say this, they're right in what it means, in a sense, right? To bless the Lord means to praise the Lord. Absolutely. So it's not incorrect, but it's just curious to me. And what's curious about it is how it impacts our understanding of blessing. If we don't allow ourselves to think of us blessing the Lord, if we always translate it as praise, are we missing something significant about the concept of blessing? Are we reducing it just to that material stuff? So this is curious to me. And again, I think that the way that it's used here, when we say bless the Lord in the context here, is to go on and identify all the beautiful, amazing things of who God is, right? Bless the Lord, and then we share what's just awesome about him. And so what's happening is we're giving thanks and we're giving honor to God for his goodness and his presence. And only God is deserving of our highest forms of praise and blessing, certainly. But knowing this, it gives us this other view, I think, of the concept. Because just as we call out the beauty and the goodness in God, that's what he is doing for us. When he blesses us, We call out his goodness and his beauty, and we name what is marvelous about him. And he wants to bless us, and it's to call us out in our beauty and our goodness that he has created within us. And that just gives a richer meaning to blessing. And so, and it completes this beautiful sort of dynamic between these concepts, right? I am blessed, I am a blessing, and I bless the Lord. And they work together, I think, to give us this fuller meaning. So we've done a little bit of the biblical background to ground us. But as I said at the start, I really think it's not so much the definitions that are hard for us as much as it is living as the beloved and living as blessed people. That's the hard part. How do we accept the love of God's presence given to us so that we're more fully created who we were meant to be? How do we actually live that out? And I think that perhaps the first step sometimes is being vulnerable enough within our own hearts to reach out to God or perhaps a trusted person in our lives and say, I need you to help me see my belovedness, my true identity as God's son or daughter. Because we work so hard at keeping it all together, right? Putting on sort of the face as though everything's fine, we don't need anything, we're good. Yet inside we might really be crying out, needing to be reminded of who we were created to be. And Henri Nouwen captures this just beautifully in his book, Life of the Beloved. And I don't know if you know this about Nouwen, but he was a practitioner and also a teacher. He taught at Harvard, Yale, and Notre Dame. Had kind of a nice gig going on. But at a particular time, kind of a critical point in his life, made a very deliberate, intentional decision to spend 10 years living and serving in a community for the mentally handicapped. And he served there. Powerful, informed a lot of his writing. And certainly he, I'm sure, gained a lot spiritually, personally in that time. And he shares in this book a story about how one day before a service that he was going to do, a young woman came to him and asked for a blessing. She wanted a blessing. And so in line with his faith tradition, he made the sign of the cross on her forehead. And she responded by saying, no, I want a real blessing. And he just patiently said, oh, I'm sorry, you want a personal blessing. Okay, I will do that for you after the service. And so he went on and conducted the service. And at the close, he shared with those that were gathered, he said, Janet has asked me for a personal blessing tonight. And he writes about how he didn't really know what she wanted because he'd gotten it wrong once, right? And so now he's on the spot. Everybody's watching him. He didn't really know what she wanted, but she didn't leave him wondering for long because she stood up. She walked straight toward him, put her arms around him, and laid her head on his chest. And he describes what happened after that, and I'd like to share it with you. He says, without thinking, I covered her with my sleeve so that she almost vanished in the folds of my robe. And as we held each other, I said, Janet, I want you to know that you are God's beloved daughter. You are precious in God's eyes. Your beautiful smile, your kindness to the people in your house, and all the good things you do show us what a beautiful human being you are. I know you feel a little low these days and that there's some sadness in your heart. But I want you to remember who you are, a very special person, deeply loved by God and all the people who are here with you. And when he was done, he describes her as stepping back with a huge smile on her face, returning to her seat satisfied, but immediately the next person stood up. So another woman stood, came down, put her arms around him, and laid her head on his chest, and he began to bless her too. And quite a few of the disabled friends in this community came forward to receive a blessing. But Nouwen says, for him, the most poignant moment in that experience came when one of the staff members, a young guy, from the back, kind of raised his hand and said, how about me? Is it okay if I receive a blessing? And Nouwen said, sure. I said, come. And he came. And as we stood before each other, I put my arms around him and I said, John, it is so good that you are here. You are God's beloved son. Your presence is a joy for all of us. When things are hard and life is burdensome, always remember that you are loved with an everlasting love. And he says that as he spoke these words, John looked at me with tears in his eyes and then he said, thank you so much. We need to know that we're loved and that we belong. And as you hear this story, you may picture yourself as the one just needing to be embraced and blessed. Or you may be able to picture yourself as embracing another and sharing a blessing with another. The thing is, as Christians, we get to do both. We get both. We get to be blessed and held, and we get to give that to others as well. And so as we close tonight, I just want to challenge you to think about what it is that you might need to do in your own life, how you might need to prepare your own heart to receive that kind of blessing that God wants to give. What kind of self-doubts or pride or arrogance or insecurities do we need to set aside so that we can come forward and just put our arms around God and put our head right on His chest and hear what He wants to whisper to us? And I also want to challenge you to think about how might you be able to place your arms around someone else and just speak words of beauty to them that calls forth who God has created them to be. And again, often it's our presence, just our presence in someone's life that can do that most powerfully. It may be tangible things, meals, whatever it might be. But occasionally God, I think the Holy Spirit moves in us to actually speak words to others. It can be a profound experience. And I would encourage you that when you do feel moved to bless someone with words, to be specific. We hear good job a lot. Again, almost losing its meaning. And sometimes it makes us focus too much on what we're doing. But how can we actually speak to someone in a way that acknowledges that we know them and we see them and we can even identify the things within that individual that they may not even see themselves? When people have blessed me, sometimes it's been in such a situation where I didn't even see something within myself, but they were able to hold it long enough that I could see it. And be sincere and purposeful. A blessing is not the same thing as a compliment. In fact, sometimes it can really call us out on something. But to remember that there's purpose in what we're doing, that our words and our actions are meant to nurture the other and to call forth who the other is intended to be as the beloved of God. So as we close today, I would love to pray a blessing over us. So if you would stand, please. And if you feel comfortable, I would invite you to just place your hands out before you as a sign of your openness to receiving all that God would have you to receive. And as we pray, I'm going to leave spaces from time to time just so that you can hear from the Lord whatever He might be saying to you tonight. So let's pray together. Lord, we bless Your name. With all that is within us, we give You thanks for Your goodness. God, we thank You for creating us as Your beloved. And we stand before You with our hands open to receive all that You would give to us. And we ask that You would fill us with Your presence, that You would comfort those who mourn, that You would raise up those who are weak, and that You would guide our steps as we seek to walk in Your ways. May Your Holy Spirit evoke within us Your gifts so that we may make Your goodness known in our families, in our schools, in our workplaces, in our neighborhoods, and in all the world. And as we're quiet in this moment, please remind us of Your love. And as we're quiet in this moment, please bring to mind those with whom we might offer specific blessings this week. Thank You for calling us Your beloved. Thank You for blessing us and allowing us to be a blessing. And Lord, we bless Your name. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. And now, friends, as you go, be blessed knowing that you are God's beloved. Good night.